I'm John Batzer, visiting with the author Joseph Tarigian. His new book is a very careful look at the life of one revolutionary communist in the 20th century. A critical way to look, because this is not Mao, this is not Deng, this is not the paramount leader. This is a man who served them all, was persecuted, jailed, his family was very much mistreated, and yet he remained a very devoted communist to making a revolution. Joseph Tarigian is here to help me understand this transformation of human beings into subservient to an idea or an ideology, or in this case, the word revolution. Sometimes, Joseph, while reading your book, I was reminded of Arthur Koestler's fiction about darkness at noon. There is a scene somewhere early on when our hero, Xi, is arrested and persecuted, though he knows he is not guilty. He's usually persecuted for being a rightist. I don't remember. It might have been being a leftist at this point. And he said, if they condemn me, that is the party and it's right. Do I compare that to how Koestler presented the show trials of the Soviet Union about the same time, the 1930s?
Absolutely. And I thought about that novel quite a bit when I was writing my book. There are dramatic points in that novel in which loyal revolutionaries who are being sent to their death by Stalin are saying, "Love live Stalin." And to understand why people had that mindset requires us to put ourselves in the mind of an individual who believes that he is serving a political organization that is a manifestation of a world historical force. So revolutionary organizations believed that their victory was inevitable, that it was legitimate, and therefore, if the party says that they're wrong, the party is always right. And so there is this belief that when you suffer at the hands of your own party, it's something you can take pride in, because by not losing faith in the party and by remaining loyal to the party, you show just how dedicated and motivated you are. It reveals something in you. It shows how much mettle you have. It's a way of putting aside your own selfish personal interests for something bigger than yourself.
My favorite chapter in your book is Love and Revolution. Of course, I went right to it when I first got your book. I thought, well, here we go, an opera. He has two wives in his lifetime. And the first wife is compelling. Her name is Hao Mingzhu. You'll correct me, Joseph.
That's right.
And she is a peasant also, who was married young and whose husband was a revolutionary. And he was executed. And she buried his decapitated body and his head. This is one tough young woman. Is that typical of the time?
So she was, as you said, a very interesting person. She came from a family of revolutionaries. Her family was poor. She wanted to go and make revolution, but it was a very tough environment for someone like that. Of course, the early years of the Chinese Communist Party, there was a lot of chauvinism. There was it was a male-dominated party. But for women like her who wanted to not just serve the party but transform society, she was running up against people who were very skeptical of her, didn't understand what she was trying to achieve. And so for her, it was always a very difficult journey. And of course, after she married Xi Zhongxun, she kept getting pregnant. And to get pregnant in those very difficult situations, it was very hard for her to make revolution, which is what she always wanted to do. And it created some tensions for her relationship with Xi Zhongxun.
Some tensions, good heavens. He treated her very poorly. Maybe that was typical of the time, but he rarely showed up. And when he did, he was with his pals. And she had one breech birth where the baby died because the woman, the midwife, doesn't know how to deliver a breech birth. She carried a child on her back as they moved from place to place. One tough lady. Wow. She cooked. She was responsible for taking care of the family while he's off making revolution. I was exactly not sympathetic to our protagonist in this chapter whatsoever. So let's just say they had two daughters and a son who survived. Were there more than that?
There were other pregnancies and births, but there were only three children that survived. That's correct.
Right. And now, because they're alienated, why did she alienate him and vice versa? because they treated each other badly. They were young, they were immature, they were on the run. I know there are lots of excuses, but for heaven's sakes, he meets a much younger woman who's very well educated, almost bourgeois. Did they use the word bourgeois when they talked about each other?
So that's very interesting. So the very first wife, Hao Mingzhu, she came from a poor revolutionary Shaanxi family. But she's seen the second wife, as you said, was much younger, came from an educated family. In fact, her father was a nationalist official. But she, too, joined the revolution when she was very young. And when she was introduced into the party, her sister described her as a white piece of paper, and that whatever color she was dyed, that was the color that she would be. But, you know, to have grown up in a family that was wealthy and educated, it was hard for her and other young people like her who fled to Yan'an, the communist base area, because they were people who wanted to save the nation. But at the same time, they were joining an organization that wanted them to do what they were told. So they were subjected to this rectification campaign to transform them into loyal servants of the party.
The second wife does experience romance. Zhang Shun, at this point, is mature enough to realize that you have to do more than show up with a weapon every Saturday night to be a proper husband. And at one point, you have a scene where he slips off to romance her. It's wonderful. You can only guess at the attachment between the two. You have a wonderful photograph of them together. And I take it that the reflection of four of them, because they lived a long time, was that they had a happy marriage. Is that correct, Joseph?
So this was a couple that joined the party to dedicate their lives to revolution and then serving the regime after it was established in 1949. And so he was tough on the family. He was tough on her. In fact, he told her once they became official that they should not become a small clique, meaning they shouldn't allow their own personal relationship to separate themselves from the party organization. So to have that kind of a relationship, I think, has to be understood in that political context, right? So in that sense, it was a relationship shaped deeply by politics.
If you're asking where Mao is, we're going to get to it right now. Joseph Derigian, the book is The Party's Interests Come First, The Life of Xi Zhongsheng, Father of Xi Jinping. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,